Hey, how's it going? Welcome to the James McDonald Podcast, where we say love to live to love. That's our focus, that's our passion, and we invite you to let God's Word have that impact in your life right now. Here's Pastor James.
Oh, that was so close! Okay, now, the good news is you're going to win next week. Okay? Because you're going to go a little slower. And if you've taken, here, give me a hug. If you've taken the time to memorize all of that as well as you have, if you've done that, then those words have become precious to you. And when you, one of the ones you was, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You said he anoints my head with oil and cup runs over. And then you went into the Shirley thing, but there was a whole big phrase there missing. So you'll get it. Anyone else want to try? Anyone else sitting there listening to me talking to him going, oh, I can't wait till I'm that guy. You got it?
He said maybe half.
I saw him this week. He was saying it. All right, listen up. Listen up. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Now, that's my big dream. All right. And I'm putting down the cash myself.
Nice.
Not Act Like Men Ministries. We're not taking any of your rent and putting it into prize money. We're giving it to whoever gets it. Three people a week. And we're hoping that this will have such an impact on us this spring and summer. We're hoping that we'll all have it committed to memory. But because new people are coming in, it'll just be the thing that we do. We'll just keep on doing it. So Kathy, you just set aside $200 or $300, $200 a week, I don't know, for a long time into the future, okay? Should I have checked that with her first?
Yes.
Obviously. We're not in a marriage series now, and I just feel like I really was out there, wasn't I? Okay, 23rd Psalm, let's get over there. I don't know how many of these next three phrases we're going to get into, but they come together. 23rd Psalm, remember, this is a psalm of David. David wrote it, and it's not hard to imagine David writing it because did you know that David was a shepherd? Last week I didn't say anything very much about David, but we have him. He wrote more psalms than anyone else. And we have in his testimony about God, some of the deepest and richest and most heartfelt theology in all of God's Word. And so the boy who was sent out, he had, I think, seven brothers. Okay, well, I won't get as far tonight because I got to tell you this one story. I'm not going to be able to get past it. So in 1 Samuel 17, that's the story of David and Goliath. But in 1 Samuel chapter 16 is the story of David, King David, the author of the 23rd Psalm, and his seven brothers. No sisters that we know of, just the father, Jesse, and the eight sons. Now, does anybody know where David was in the birth order? He was the eldest?
Youngest.
Dang, I really wanted you to say eldest, Mike, because I could really get after you about that. But instead, you have the perfect answer. Way to go. He was the youngest, right? And so because he was the youngest, he was disregarded by his brothers. And maybe some of you have experienced like that in the birth order. And just feeling like you didn't matter, like you weren't important, like you weren't seen. It was a big deal. David was the eighth. And they thought so low of him that they gave to him the job that they gave to the children
of slaves. That's the job David got.
A son to the landowner outdoing the job of a slave's child. What did his other seven brothers think of him? Not much. And the great prophet, actually judge and prophet, Samuel was called to an assembly area because the Lord had spoken to him and said, because there was the whole story of Saul, and Saul was the guy in the Old Testament where the people wanted a king. Every other nation had a king, and the Israelites were like, we want a king, we want a king, we want a king, till finally God gave them their request, the psalmist says, but sent leanness into their souls. You want a king? God was saying, and if you think a king's better than me? You don't think I can give you what a king can give you? And remember, God does not bear rivals in our life. The Lord does not bear rivals in our life. And so Saul was so puffed up and arrogant, but God gave them anyway. He gave them anyway the king that they wanted. He was taller than all the rest of the men, a head above their shoulders. So that much taller. And he was a big stud. And everyone's so impressed with him. But his whole life crashed and burned. We can save that teaching for another time. And then God said, I'm going to have my kind of king. I have a man that I've selected. He is a son of Jesse. Now go to this place and I will show you who's going to be the king. And so he went. And he, you know, no Uber back then, right? So he went to the fairground, I would say effectively, the state fairground where all the activity was happening, and he walked right in the middle of it, and he said, get Jesse's seven sons up here, right? And they, where are you? Grab them, one's back there, and they all line up. Now Samuel comes out behind them, lying there in a line, and he knows the Lord's going to tell him which one. I don't know if he put his hands on his shoulders from behind. I don't know if he put his hand on his head. I don't know what he did exactly. But at the first one, what did all the people think? In Israel, it's always the what? Always the firstborn. Always the firstborn. Always the firstborn. And the whole dynamic of firstborns causes a lot of problems in a lot of families. But the Lord said to Samuel, not him. Now, already, it's like you're being at a political convention, and then now we're going to go to the second ballot. And on the first ballot, everybody thought it was going to be him, and it wasn't. So then the next one. But the Lord said, no, it's not him. And then the next one. And the next one, all the way down to seven. And you can read it right in the Bible. I'll give you the reference later, but it's 1 Samuel 16. The prophet turns and says to Jesse, didn't you say you had eight sons? How many do you see in that line there? You know how long it took me to walk here? All right, then you dragged me straight over here. I haven't eaten nothing, I haven't done nothing, but your job was to get your sons here. I see seven. None of them are the person God chose. Do you have any other sons? And even then, he didn't really get it. He said, well, he wanted to say no. But he's like, he didn't want to get, like, you know, what people get who lie to kings, right? So he didn't want to get everybody make the sound effect for that. One, two, three, right? He didn't want to get that. So he was like, well, I don't know. I mean, there's one out tending the sheep. It's almost like he's not even a real son. He's like a half son. He's like a... like a stepson, God forbid, it shouldn't be like that, right? So this is what Samuel says, and I'm almost done. Samuel says, get this, guys. Samuel says, collect the chairs, euphemistically, the actual text says, get him now, no one will be seated until he gets here. Ever in one of those situations where everybody's like, You know, just kind of like, I mean, how long did it take to run back to the farm, yell out to David, get him to come this way? David comes rushing in. Now, how did his brothers feel when he came into the middle? Some of them were like, this Samuel, man, he's too old. He's lost it. He's not hearing from God. I mean, what's wrong with this? What's not to love about this? You know, like that. Is that what he was thinking or not? Oh, yeah. The older brother, first one in the mirror, you know, that guy. And then all the way down the line, Mr. Personality, number two, and then number three, the one, you know, who's a little out there with mom and dad, and all the way down the line. I never had eight, so I don't know how the rest of the stories go. But each one of them unique, each one of them rejected by the Spirit of God in the heart of Samuel. They're waiting. They're just trying to fill some time while we're waiting. And so now they're back and they have David and they bring him in. It says in the text in 1 Samuel 16, they brought him into the midst of his brothers. If all of you guys don't, but if all of you guys jumped up and stood around me, I mean, he was in the middle of his brothers. There was no one that he could touch that he didn't know their name like he recognized the back of his hand. He knows these guys. And Samuel comes in and says, this is the man that God has chosen. And in the text, in telling that story, it says that the principle that that story is trying to make is that man looks on the outward appearance. And isn't that what men do? And isn't that what a lot of our pain is from? How people have seen us or said something about us, and in our ability to cope with whatever was seen or said about us, didn't we move further away from what would help us, but just wanted that voice of not good enough to stop in one shape or form? And so there's a wonderful message here for someone who believes that the strength to live successfully is tied right up in the strength of the Lord. It's the strength of the Lord. And when he said, this is the man over David, okay, in that moment, the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And that's the thing that changes everything. That's the thing that changes everything. So when we are going to study this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want what? I shall not want anything. I shall not want another shepherd. I shall not want James to preach his full sermon now that he spent all his time telling us that story. I shall not want that. That was a decent joke. I think it was a better response. No, but it doesn't matter now because I had to prompt you, so it doesn't mean anything. It's nothing. You lost. Come on. Here it is. The next time we're together, God willing, everyone say, next time we're together, God willing, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Now, if you really want to get it, I promise you, you can get those. Actually, most people believe that the verse is better divided with he restores my soul at the beginning of verse 3. So whether you get that or not, you could get the first two verses and just get that. And if you never get anything else, you'll always have that. Listen to me. If you want to get the last sentence, if you really want to get something done in life, okay? If you really want to get something done in life, do the hard thing first. Do the hard thing first. All of the blessings and the goodness and the smiles and it's all. And that's why you men that I'm blessed to be looking at right now, this is why you have my love and respect. Because being away from your family is not a fun thing. And being in a place you've never lived before is not a fun thing. And being unable to bridge the gap, which we see God bridge these many times, praise God. But being able to bridge the gap between where you are with those you love now and where you can be 12 months from now. I hear there's a wedding coming. I mean, am I not preaching your story right now? Just this. Have you not moved from, I don't think it's ever going to happen, to a date? Is that not true? Say praise God. Praise God. Everyone agree? Amen. Amen. And God, don't let us forget where we came from. And don't let us forget what we had before we have this. And I got to tell you, I had some things. And I wouldn't take a one of them back if I had to give up the pleasure of knowing and serving with you. I love this. Like, I love what we're doing. Amen. And so next week, work on those three phrases. Thank you. He what? Now, how does it go? He, Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Right? All right, let's pray. God, thank you for these dear men. Thank you for the chance just to connect our hearts together and to speak openly and freely about the things that you are doing and have done for us. We pray that you'd continue to give strength where it's needed and give separation from friendships that are fraught with peril. God, don't let them call back. God, let them block the number and keep it such. May we only be able to connect and communicate this week with people who advance your purposes in our life and who receive your joy, Lord. We are recipients of your joy, and we thank you for it. And we pray that we could share it more freely with one another. Thank you for this time now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Yeah, well, I don't do that very often. I just kind of went off on a tangent and told them all about King David and how he was chosen from among his brothers and how the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. And then, of course, you heard me just pouring out my heart of love for the man and so on. But so how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, do not be drunk with wine, which I'm looking forward to teaching these guys this passage. But be filled with the Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is excess. I can definitely go to excess. But instead, you want to be filled? You want to be filled with something? Be filled with the Spirit. The tense in the original is actually being filled with the Spirit. And I remember when I preached on this, I told the story years ago about playing basketball and holding the ball and moving it right when someone swept and tried to take it from me, and they put their finger inside my eye up past the first knuckle, like, and I've never known pain like that. I think I said I wasn't a person anymore, I wasn't a basketball player, I was just one big throbbing eyeball. And I said that's what it means to be filled with pain. And then I told a story about the birth of one of our children, and I said that's what it feels like to be filled with joy. The idea is to be completely and thoroughly consumed with, to be entirely focused on and taken away with, be completely controlled by the Spirit. And I believe good Bible scholars also believe that there is one baptism, many fillings. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit were you all baptized into one body. So you get all of the Holy Spirit at conversion. When you turn from your sin and embrace Christ by faith, you get all the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 says that we have received the Holy Spirit. He's the earnest of our inheritance. He's the down payment that God has made on the salvation that will ultimately be ours. So you get all of the Holy Spirit at conversion, but the problem is the Holy Spirit doesn't get all of you. And that's the process of sanctification, where we're putting off the old and putting on the new, and three steps forward and two steps back, and confess and forsake and begin again. And so you need to be filled with the Spirit every day. And so I believe it's just pretty simple. I think you need to confess all known sin. Don't worry about the things you can't think of. Just say, Lord, Holy Spirit, reveal to me unconfessed sin in my life now, and invite him to do that. And as the Lord brings things to mind, just confess it and forsake it. Yes, Lord, I agree that's wrong. And yes, I agree, Lord, that was sin. Please forgive me. And you confess it and forsake it. And when you have nothing else, that's coming to your mind. Accept that is what the Holy Spirit has for you now, and then pray and ask to be filled. Don't ask for the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit, but just yield to Him. Just ask Him. You know how to yield. You're coming up to a corner and they have a through street, and I don't even know they have yield signs anymore, but you let the other car pass through. In this instance, the other car is the Holy Spirit, and you're going to yield to the Spirit. And when you feel anger coming up inside you, or when you feel jealousy coming up inside you, the Holy Spirit will put that down for you if you yield to the Spirit. But it's when our flesh takes over and says, no, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do this, then, of course, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4 talks about don't grieve the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we do things that make Him sad. Lupeo is actually the word for grieving the Holy Spirit. And it means to make Him sad or regretful. And then we also can quench the Holy Spirit. Grieving Him is when we're doing things we shouldn't be doing. And it grieves the Spirit. Quenching the Spirit is when He's prompting us. Say you're sorry. Make that right. Give it back. And we won't do it. Now we're quenching the Spirit. And those are the two things ultimately cause us to forfeit the filling of the Spirit. I do something He did not want me to do, and He's grieved, so therefore not filling me anymore, still with me. Or He is quenched. I won't do the thing He's prompting me to do, and so He's quenched. But if you pray to be filled with the Spirit today, you can be like King David, whom the Holy Spirit rushed upon. That beautiful song, how can we be led beside still waters? How can we have our soul restored? We're going to talk about those things in the next message. But for now, just pray with me right now and take as much time as you need, even if you just pause this teaching, to confess all known sin. Now pray, Holy Spirit of God, you have been sent by my Savior Jesus Christ. God the Father has willed it to be so, and you are the deposit that He has given to me in my salvation. And I want you to have control of my life. So I've confessed all known sin, and I am praying now, asking you, Holy Spirit of God, fill me afresh. Fill me afresh. There's a lot of choruses that we sing about that, being filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. And now, believe it. Mark chapter 10 says, whatever you ask in faith, believe that you have received it, and it will be done for you. Mark 10, 27. So if you have asked to be filled, believe that you have been. Now go have an awesome day. We'll see you again next time.
So I hope that you've been really encouraged today through this clear teaching from God's Word. I just want to thank you from the whole team for listening to the James McDonald Podcast, where the learning is for loving God, and for loving others more and more until we see Him face to face. Thank you for standing with us. Your prayerful support is our lifeline to continue this gospel partnership, and it makes podcasts like these possible. Check out jamesmcdonaldministries.org. Hey, thank you again for listening.